From Storyflow. This is your daily audio brief. Mason here, July 26th. The market read in 5. Let's start with the headline number. Let's get into it. First, from Zero Hedge. India's education minister resigns. Delhi protests end as Modi caves. To cockroach. Youth movements demands. India's education minister, Dharmendra Pradhan, resigned on Saturday, and the government agreed to every demand raised by youth demonstrators, bringing weeks of protests. The gravest political crisis of Prime Minister Narendra Modi's third term. To a jubilant close, Pradhan's exit was the core demand of the self-styled Cockroach Janta Party, CJP. The youth movement that has camped at Delhi's Jantar Mantar since late June over the leak of medical school entrance exam papers. Next. Second, from Morning Brew. Everyone is tacking fun onto their business trips. $685 billion. That's the size of the bleisure market in 2024. And analysts see it climbing toward $1.7 trillion by 2032. The trend's simple. Workers are stretching business trips to squeeze in a little vacation, and the numbers back it up. 83% of American business travelers say they occasionally add leisure days, while 42% routinely tack on one or two extra nights after the meeting ends. Corporate buyers are noticing longer itineraries, with nearly 40% reporting trips that now blend work and play. Gen Z is driving the shift. About 2/3 of the youngest business travelers are already embracing bleisure, and 9 in 10 see it as a chance to upgrade their travel experience. Top destinations for these hybrid trips are New Orleans, Las Vegas, Orlando, Boston, and Washington, D.C., according to recent booking data. Up next, third, from Morning Brew. AI is getting all up in our business travel. If you need proof that technology is changing corporate travel, AI has the receipts. Literally. From reimbursements to booking trips, companies are turning to AI to streamline the process of heading out of town. Expense rapport. Travel technology companies like Navan and Amadeus say AI can help remove friction from the expense process. You're welcome, employees, and ensure policy compliance. You're welcome, employers. And then, fourth, from Morning Brew. Flying private is now a standard top exec perk. You'll probably never hear a plane with only two parachutes joke featuring a crying baby, a chatty grandma, and the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. That's because the besuited bunch is increasingly flying private, even as employers cut back on other lavish benefits for top executives. The majority of Fortune 500 CEOs are now flying private on the company dime, according to the executive data firm Equilar. Next, fifth, from Zero Hedge. The United Nations has run out of alibis. Authored by Pierre Rayhov via the Epoch Times, institutions built to prevent atrocities eventually face the question of what they actually protect. For the United Nations, voting patterns, internal investigations, and its own decisions this year no longer support the fiction of neutrality. Up next, sixth, from Fast Company. Should you take that promotion? Today, leadership no longer has the allure it once did. In fact, if you get an opportunity for a promotion, there may be good reasons to think it over carefully. Incredibly, only 6% of respondents in a Deloitte survey of 22,500 millennials and Gen Zers across 44 countries aspire to leadership roles. Furthermore, 25% of leaders in a Gartner survey of 3,000 respondents would prefer not to manage people. And then, seventh, from Fast Company, the invisible tax that might be holding back your startup. In most companies, tension between co-founders is treated as a personal issue. It's uncomfortable, it may affect morale, and in extreme cases, it can become a governance concern, but it is rarely treated as a core business risk. I believe that is a mistake. In high-growth companies, the co-founder relationship is the company's primary decision-making system. Next, 8th, from Fast Company. The Toronto Tempo president explains how she's building a WNBA franchise like a startup. Teresa Resch, president of the Toronto Tempo, reflects on the team's inaugural season. Despite the chaos of building a team from scratch with an uncertain budget, Resch credits the new collective bargaining agreement for transforming the WNBA. The agreement, which includes a significant salary increase, has set a new standard for women's professional sports. Resch's team, which was assembled in just 16 days, has shown resilience and promise, with a 53-point single-game performance and record-breaking attendance. However, injuries have been a challenge, and Resch acknowledges the pressure to perform while balancing expectations from fans and players. Resch, who previously worked with the Toronto Raptors, had to build the Tempo's infrastructure from the ground up. This has been both a challenge and an opportunity, allowing her to create a unique organization. She notes that the biggest barrier for women's sports is infrastructure, including performance centers and venues. Resch is determined to deliver a competitive team and make the WNBA a success in Canada. The Toronto Tempo's inaugural season has been marked by ups and downs, but Resch remains optimistic. With the support of the league and the team's resilience, she believes they can achieve their goals and make a lasting impact on the WNBA. For listeners who want low-fee crypto exposure, our markets partner Kraken supports Bitcoin. Link in show notes. Up next, 9th from Fortune. Booted from Malaysia, tech guru Balaji Srinivasan finds a new patron for his nomad commune, Kazakhstan. Balaji Srinivasan, the former Coinbase CTO, had his network school shut down in Malaysia on July 21st after a regulatory crackdown. The school, which operated as a co-living space for tech entrepreneurs and content creators, was accused of breaching licensing conditions and premises use requirements. A social media video had caught the eye of Malaysian authorities, leading to an investigation into allegations that Israeli nationals had joined the program, entering the country on second country passports. Although the probe found no evidence of travel document violations, the Iskandar Puteri City Council chose to revoke Network School's business license. The dispute has widened to a diplomatic incident, with Malaysia's foreign minister ordering a dual US-Israel citizen to leave the country. This led the US State Department to summon Malaysia's ambassador to explain the country's position on Israel. Srinivasan had been searching for a new home for his nomadic education community and has now signed an MOU with authorities in Kazakhstan. The new campus will offer a space for educational and research opportunities in AI and support for tech startups. Srinivasan has a history of pushing the boundaries of the global tech sector, advocating for the creation of a network state and leaving the US tech industry. He has also been known for his predictions and bets on the future of technology, including a failed bet that Bitcoin would hit $1 million in value within 90 days. For listeners who want low-fee crypto exposure, our markets partner Kraken supports Bitcoin, link in show notes. And then, 10th, from the Daily Upside, model maxing replaces token maxing for firms grappling with AI costs. You know how companies used to just throw AI at every problem and hope for the best? That's changing. Instead of competing to use the most tokens on the job, employees are now routing tasks to the most efficient and cost-effective model. This is called model maxing. It's about finding the right balance between capability, cost, and deployment flexibility. Companies are starting to realize that they don't need to use the most advanced models for every task. They're using lower-cost models for routine tasks and saving the more expensive ones for complex tasks. This approach is becoming more popular, especially with the rise of Chinese AI companies that are offering capable models at a fraction of the cost of their US rivals. For example, Chinese AI firm Moonshot launched a model that outperformed all rivals except Anthropic's Claude Fable 5 and OpenAI's GPT-5.6. Meanwhile, Alibaba previewed its Qwen 3.8 Max model, which it claimed is even more powerful. Coinbase CEO Brian Armstrong even shared how to keep AI spend flat while token usage grows, including by better routing. It's no surprise that cost is top of mind for companies now that there are options for their AI. An IDC survey shows that 47% of US decision makers are using made-in-China models for at least one use case, and 20% are using them extensively. Chinese models like DeepSeek and Qwen typically charge less than $5 per million output tokens, while US frontier models like GPT 5.5 and Claude Opus are priced about $25 to $30. Model routing is becoming a more important part of the AI stack, and developers are increasingly evaluating models based on how well they perform for a specific workload, rather than relying solely on the lab or brand behind them. For listeners who want low-fee crypto exposure, our markets partner Kraken supports Bitcoin. Link in show notes. That's the read. Watch the tape, ignore the noise, back tomorrow. Want this every morning? It's free. Set up your own feed at storyflow.com.